I wrote my book Café Europa in 1996. Back then, I tried to illustrate the new Europe emerging after the entire communist bloc collapsed. Suddenly and completely unexpectedly in 1989, a historical earthquake that left us Eastern Europeans in shock, followed by euphoria and childish expectations. Not a patient people, we expected too much too soon. Europe is not a mother who owes something to her long-neglected children. Neither is she a princess one has to court. Most likely, Europe is what we, countries, peoples, individuals, make of it for ourselves, I wrote apropos these expectations. On the 30th anniversary of the collapse, I revisit Café Europa to glance inside to see how the former communist world looks now. What are the important marks of the time, and could we have anticipated them? Traveling around, I wonder, do I have any right to write us and group together all the former Eastern Bloc countries just when they insist on the differences between them? Are there in fact any of us left? And finally, is 30 years a long or a short time when it comes to profound changes in society? Let us stick to the metaphor of a café. Like in any café, the first thing you feel when you enter it is the atmosphere. Atmosphere is, of course, immaterial, only a feeling of the place. 30, 20, even 10 years ago, you would have sensed excitement, hope, good vibrations in the air. The café, or rather kavana, kavarna, kavihas, kaviarna, as this unique Central European institution is called in different languages, used to look a bit shabby. The lights were dimmed, many people smoked, but they had loud voices and smiling faces. The glasses clanged, and you could tell that there was a kind of party going on. Nowadays, as soon as you open the door, the first thing you would notice is that there is new furniture, modern appliances, a lot of light. The coffee is espresso now, and nobody reads old-fashioned newspapers any longer. The café looks designed, more like a bar than an old-fashioned kavana. The people look smarter than before, too. They are certainly better dressed, but there's less noise. Yet a trained eye can distinguish different groups and different tones, even polite disagreements. Many of the visitors, especially if they are older, complain about the corrupt elites, unfulfilled promises, loss of national identity, and loss of job security, as well as the stripping away of illusions. This is how you can recognize that they are Eastern Europeans. Young ones are the same everywhere. They move around in order to get a job and worry mostly about money. The Westerners in the café also had expectations. They believed that once the political and economic system had changed, the post-communist countries would develop fast, and the gap within a reunited Europe would soon close. When you look around, you can recognize them by the disappointment on their faces. Sitting there a while, you come to understand that what connects people in post-1989 Europe is common values, while what continues to divide them is different histories. Only time alone could ever bridge this gap, and 30 years are but a blink. If someone had told me 50 years ago that I would see communism collapse in my lifetime, I would have probably laughed, albeit bitterly. Living in Eastern Europe, though not in a country within the Soviet bloc, but in the former Yugoslavia, my generation could imagine only more of the same, or worse. Back then, George Orwell's anti-utopian novel 1984 was a book we admired because we recognized the newspeak, control and censorship that he described. We had already surpassed his Animal Farm, in which we are all equal, but some are more equal than others, as well as the reversal of such values as truth and peace. Seeing the student protests in Paris in May 1968 and the Soviet tanks rolling into Prague in August the same year could only reinforce the differences between political systems and our feeling of hopelessness. no change for the better was foreseen. Still, since 1989, Europe has changed for the better. Germany is reunified, the transition to democracy has begun in the former communist states, borders have been abolished, freedom and human rights have arrived, along with supermarkets full of goods that Eastern Europeans had never seen before. Some former communist states, like Poland and Hungary, became members of the EU sooner, some like Bulgaria and Romania later. Croatia was the last to join it in 2013, and some are still waiting. Many call it returning to Europe. For the first time, there was the hope of a better life, and understandably, no change for the worse was foreseen.